Okay. Start this morning in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17, let's go down to verse 28. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. They answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank you this morning for this passage. It forewarns us of things to come. Some of those things are coming to pass in process right now. Father, I pray you'd help us to apply the admonitions here to our lives. May you help us this morning to see ourselves plainly in this light. And we pray, of course, that if somebody here is lost, that you deal with their hearts about their need for salvation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage is prophetically for the Great Tribulation and Second Advent. You probably know that. You'll find down in this passage in verse 29, the raining of fire and brimstone from heaven. Well, that's the second coming of Christ, right? You have a flight into the wilderness, that is Israel fleeing from Jerusalem out into the wilderness and the Great Tribulation. You have a post-tribulation rapture where some people are taken, some people are left. I know there's a pre-tribulation rapture for us, but this is a post-tribulation rapture for those folks just before the second advent. Then finally, to put the seal on top of the pickle jar, down at the end of verse 37, you have the gathering together of the predatory birds to eat the meats that are left behind after Armageddon, after the armies of the Lord Jesus Christ have destroyed the armies of this world. So it's a second coming passage, in essence. Nevertheless, there is that in the passage which reminds us of some things. We should be reminded by this that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and He is coming back for His bride. He's coming back for us. It also reminds us that we should be vigilant, and that we should be ready for Him to come back. We're reminded that the life we lived when we were back in Sodom and Gomorrah is different from the life which we have now in Jesus Christ. Amen? So with that in mind, the Lord says in verse 32, three simple words, one of the shorter verses in the Bible, one you can remember in your memory with no problems at all. Remember Lot's wife. Now, if you'll maybe keep a piece of paper stuck in Luke 17, we'll be back later. Let me take you over to Genesis chapter 19, where we find the story of Lot's wife. I know you're familiar with this story. I'm not going to read the whole thing through to you, but I wanted to pick up a couple things out of it to make sure that we get it. Genesis chapter 19. And if you'll go down to verse 17, the angels have come in. They have talked to Lot. His wife and family have told them what's happening. The men have attacked them and sought to bring the angels out to themselves. And, of course, Lot said, no, that's not going to work. But it's now evident that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. Verse 17, came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, notice, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. That's not a good time to argue, by the way. Verse 19. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saying, saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Well, behold now, this city is near it to flee unto. It is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. I want to go on down, if you'll find, notice verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, Lot's wife, we were told by the Lord Jesus Christ to remember her. She is never named by name as far as I could ever find. In fact, there's a lot we don't know about her. We presume she was Egyptian because there's no mention of Lot having a wife until he and Abraham went to Egypt and then suddenly comes out of Egypt with a wife. That timing would work well for him now to have grown or semi-grown daughters by the time they reach Sodom and Gomorrah. So she's probably Egyptian, but there's some mystery around her, and she's certainly easy to forget. After all, she's mentioned here as turning into a pillar of salt, and she is not mentioned again for 2,000 years until one day the Lord said, Remember Lot's wife. And I want to preach to you this morning on Remember Lot's wife. This happens to be one of the least regarded, maybe one of the least remembered miracles of the Bible. I mean, we've been studying Jonah on Wednesday nights, and so we've gone through how men look skeptically upon Jonah as having died in the whale's belly and been 3 days and three nights there, in fact, in hell, as we learned Wednesday. You know, we, I think, preached on the last Sunday night about Moses smiting the rock when he shouldn't have smitten it, should have spoken to it and such. Well, those are tremendous miracles. Well, I would call your attention to this one. Here we have the Bible saying that on an instant, God changed the flesh and blood of Lot's wife to a pillar of salt. Now, that's a great miracle. It may not be a pleasing one. Consider Jesus Christ, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. His flesh lay 3 days and three nights in a tomb. By the time your flesh lays 3 days and three nights in death, folks, there's deterioration that starts. You talk about power that would bring that flesh back to life. That's power. That's a miracle. Think about a future when the Bible says that we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when our flesh, our corruptible flesh, will put on incorruption, will put on immortality. What a tremendous miracle. Well, think about what power must have taken place for that woman's flesh and blood to be instantly changed into salt. And she became a pillar of salt. And in that light, the Lord said, Remember Lot's wife. And you know what the lesson is? The lesson is don't look back. Amen? Don't look back. He said, don't look behind thee. And she turned and looked behind her, and she instantly became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. Now, a couple things to remember here. Don't forget, first of all, that Lot was a righteous man, that he was one of God's people. The Bible says that that righteous man vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was saved. Now, if Lot was saved, it's not stated, and maybe it's not even true, but it's likely anyway that Mrs. Lot very well may have been saved as well, right? I mean, if one is saved, then maybe the other one is, maybe the other one's not, but there's a likelihood that she was saved. And I know that this is true. I know that plainly, Mr. and Mrs. Lot had made some awful and fateful decisions together. I know that they had allowed themselves to be drawn into the sewage of Sodom and Gomorrah. I know that much is true. I know that they had some bitter crops to reap, some things that they had sowed, and so they were faced with being forced to leave Sodom and Gomorrah and face the death of son-in-laws and daughters and such like that. It had to be really, really tough. I understand that. It's also worthwhile to say that those two had been miraculously rescued. Those two had been taken by their hands, by those angels, and dragged, perhaps transported, outside the city gates. Those two had been miraculously rescued from the brimstone and fire that would be the torments of Sodom and Gomorrah. Reminds me of me and you that are saved. We got saved from the wrath of God. We got saved from our own fire and brimstone, did we not? And I'll tell you what the lesson is. The lesson is, don't look back. But she did. She did look back, and so do a lot of others. You probably know some that have. All of us have been guilty of looking back over our shoulders at a few things of the old life and them seeming not as horrible maybe as they did sometime before. I'm here to admonish you today in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, I think about me, how I am, and frankly, if I had walked across that plain and started climbing a mountain and I started hearing the conflagration behind me, all this yelling and screaming and fire falling and thunder and whatever else noise was made, and the smoke started billowing, it would have been all I could do to not look back to see this great sight. Well, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Now, I dare say, you will be tempted to look back at your life before, the one that you have now. And the Lord Jesus Christ's admonition is, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. And so I have some things for you to remember this morning. And again, I'm approaching this largely from the perspective of saved people. I consider, certainly Lot was saved. Maybe not quite the way we are, but he was saved. He was one of the Lord's saints. He was a righteous man. And there is every possibility that Mrs. Lot was saved as well. So if that's the case, you have two people that were saved. Mrs. Lot looked back, was turned to a pillar of salt. There are some things to remember. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, first of all, you have a new lease on life and a new lease on usefulness. Mr. and Mrs. Lot had become bogged down. They had found themselves completely mired in the sewage that was Sodom and Gomorrah. They lived there. Things were bad. They had made bad decisions. They had probably committed iniquity in some measure themselves. Maybe they were there because of their ambitions. I'm not quite sure. Whatever is the case, Sodom and Gomorrah had become home to them. It was the place they abode. It was what they were familiar with. It was like quicksand, but they didn't see a way of getting out. In fact, apparently Mrs. Lot didn't even want to leave. And so I just want to say, that's where all of us were when we were lost. We were in Sodom and Gomorrah. We were bogged down. We were mired down in habits and character issues and our sins. And the Lord set us free. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You've got a new lease on life. You now have a new life. You have an opportunity to renew your spirit day by day. I frankly, it goes beyond just that because I was saved 10 or 12 years before I served the Lord. And so I was kind of mired down still in Sodom and Gomorrah after I was saved. And so I take these things to heart. And I realize that, you know, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and I just realize that, you know, there were some years that I had a new lease. I got a new start. I got a fresh start. I didn't take advantage of it. But I just want to say, you need to remember that you have a new lease on life. You have a new hope for usefulness and fruitfulness in this life Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. I want to say that there is no indication in the Bible at all that Mrs. Lot was some sort of a wretched, wicked woman. Maybe you would draw that conclusion, but there's no indication of it. There is no indication that she was some deranged, depraved, addicted type person. There's no indication that she wanted to take part of the vice and wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. She looked back, right? Why did she look back? Well, it could be something as simple as that was where home was. For the last several years, that is where Mrs. Lot's home had been. All that she had been familiar with was what was in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, she was used to it. She'd adapted to it. And so it just overcame her will that she must look back over her shoulder to gaze upon what had been home, upon what she had been accustomed to, upon what she had been familiar with. And I'm sure along the line that she had friends there and acquaintances there. And in fact, there's a little more to it than that. If you'll go back to verse 12, Genesis 19, 12, I'd like you to consider something. I'm not quite sure how this worked. I haven't been able to deduce exactly. But notice in verse 12, these angels say this to Lot. The men said unto Lot, "How or hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." He mentions three classes. He mentions sons-in-law, he mentions sons, and he mentions daughters. Now, we know that Lot and Mrs. Lot escaped with two daughters. We know that there were sons-in-law that would not come with. Now, here's what we don't know. We don't know how many daughters in total were in the family. We know two escaped with. Now, maybe they were married and maybe their husbands were the ones, the sons-in-law, that were left behind. But there could well have been two other daughters as well who stayed back with the sons-in-law, their husband. And notice in verse 12 that the Lord even mentions sons. We don't know that Lot did have sons, but it's funny that he mentions sons. He may have had sons, more daughters, as well as daughters-in-law. Now, here's the deal. When Mrs. Lot topped the brow of that hill and looked back, she knew that anybody she knew in town, friends, sons, daughters, perhaps, sons-in-law, certainly, she would never see again. And they were going to perish in the most horrible fashion imaginable. Now, here's the thing. She still should not have looked back. I understand why she did. And here's the deal with you. I know when you got saved, you may have left behind somebody that was lost. Childhood friends, maybe a brother or sister, a sister or a brother, a mother, a father, daughters and sons and whatever else. Maybe they're still lost. But see, you're not like Mrs. Lot. When Mrs. Lot topped the brow of the hill, she looked back at a town that would have contained kinfolk and people that she loved. Now, when you left the life, you're told not to look back. You still get to work on the folks that didn't get saved and come out with you. I mean, you're not like Mrs. Lot, for whom all is lost with those people. You still get to go back and say, "Would you please get saved? Here's the gospel again and again and again." You still get to work on them. I just want to say, you're called not to look back. You're called to try to win those. But your cause is not as lost as even Mrs. Lot, and she was still turned into a pillar of salt. You have a new life to live. You got a fresh start. Remember back in the day after you got saved, maybe you've been saved for a long time like me, 20, 30 years. Remember those first days after your spirit and conscience were awakened, and what a refreshing it was just to be saved. In fact, some of you probably were like me and bragged that you could never backslide feeling like you felt. Well, I just want to say it's easy for that stuff to fade in time, but I just want to say never forget that you have a new lease on life. You have a new hope for usefulness and fruitfulness. You get to renew your hopes day by day in the Word of God. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Go join Abraham in Mamre. Go pray with Abraham out on the plain, out in a place where God's wrath is nowhere near and is not going to fall. Go fellowship with Abraham. Just don't look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back with wistfulness at the life that you once led when you were lost or when you were backslidden like me. I want to say the second thing here. You need to remember you have a new lease on life, but there's also something else. You need to remember that nostalgia can be a deceitful thing. Now, what I mean by that is, again, we're going to have to speculate a little bit on why it was that Mrs. Lot looked back. For one, like I said, it's a humongous fire. It would be very difficult indeed to not glance over your shoulder just to see the damage, just to see the sight, because it's a great sight. In Mrs. Lot's case, she looks back at the city and she remembers perhaps daughters still in the city. Certainly, son-in-law is still in the city. And perhaps, according to the Scriptures, maybe even sons still in the city. So I understand why she looked back. And there's another possibility. The other possibility is that it's just sentimental things, nostalgic things. For instance, she maybe have gazed back and been standing, just kind of thinking about the life that she and her husband Lot had led there. After all, they had wandered with Abraham for those years. This may well have been their first home. Remember how you felt about your first home, with your wife or husband, and you gaze back at it and you think, boy, that was strange. That was the day, living back in that little trailer that we bought or that little house that we bought or whatever. You know, nostalgia. I wonder if she stood there thinking about their happiness there together. The Bible doesn't say that Mr. and Mrs. Lot had a bad marriage. It doesn't say that they were unhappy. I'm sure they, had anniversaries and birthdays and, you know, ceremonial stuff, holiday stuff, that sort of thing. I'm sure they had good memories. Maybe she stood that day with, her picture album in her mind. She's flipping through the picture album, seeing the kids when they raised kids in that town. And so maybe she thought back with nostalgia and sentimentality about it, thinking what it was like those years ago when we first came here, and the kids were little and they were so cute and they played in the yard and they had their pool and they had their swing set and all those things. Well, maybe she looked back out of nostalgia. But where nostalgia comes in, there's also the other side of it. Because if it was nostalgia, if the reason for looking back was nostalgia, there was something else that she had forgotten. It was what had happened last night, which was that the men of the city had come to their door and tried to knock the door down to get those two angels out in the street. That even her own husband had offered to give her daughters to those men outside. Now, I don't know what that speaks to you. That speaks to me of great villainy and wickedness. And whatever's the case, whatever nostalgia might have remained in Sodom and Gomorrah, that spoiled it. You were willing to take my daughters outside in the street and abuse them. You were willing to take guests in my house outside in the streets and abuse them. There's no nostalgia in that. And I just want to say, a nostalgia can be twinkle-dusted memories. I learned something about my nature years ago, and that's the fact that I'm capable of putting a screen over my memories and remembering certain things and not remembering others. Sometimes it works in reverse, but oftentimes it's easy to look back and forget the misery and the despair and the gloom. You know, the devil helps you out in this, but I have sentimental and nostalgic memories in my own mind about my life before. I mean, I remember childhood. I have flashes of memory in my childhood of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa both sets all together, you know, sitting on a homemade non-electric ice cream maker and, you know, them turning the crank and adding ice and it being a big day, that sort of thing. Vacations. I have high school memories that were good. High school sports. Some college memories that were good. But then I'm brought back to reality because I at least was given a dose of the fact and remember very well that my last 2 years of high school were two of the most miserable years I ever spent in my life. They were the most hopeless, vagabond, empty, answerless, directionless years that I ever had in my life. My first 3 years in college, while I have memories of friends and some pleasant memories of some things that happened, I remember them as being absolutely directionless and pointless. I remember them being a great points of waste. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but when I think back nostalgically about stuff, I have to put on the great as well the idea that I was miserable to the bone for much of that time. Here is Mrs. Lott. She stands on the brow of that hill, and I think she looks back with some nostalgic memories, remembering the kids and remembering the kids on their sweet little swimming pool and the swing set in the backyard and stuff. But she had forgotten some things. I want you to know, you better be careful. Nostalgia can be a deceitful thing. I know folks that have gotten caught in thinking back about some fun things they partook in when they were lost and dying and going to hell. And somehow they manage at times to forget the gloom and despair and wretchedness that those days represent. And how empty they are. Why did you come to Jesus Christ? You came because you were hopeless. You came because you were in despair. You came because you knew you had no answers. If you're not careful in time, the devil is able to set a filter on your mind and memory where you only remember some good things and you forget some of the really awful things. I just want you to be aware, you need to remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. But also, remember that nostalgia can be a deceitful thing. Because you can look back and remember things independent of some other things that were going on. I would remind you of this. You know, let me read you. I won't have you turn. I'm going to read 1 Peter if you want to go look it up later. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll just remind you of this. For as much, then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Be careful. Your nostalgic memories can be deceitful. Remember how miserable you were when you came to Jesus Christ? Don't forget the misery in the midst of pleasant memories. So I want to say, first of all, remember Lot's wife. Remember, Mrs. Lott, that you have a new lease on life. And you may be tempted to stand and look back over your shoulder at the burning city and all that's represented there, but don't forget that nostalgia can be deceitful. I want to say something else along that line. I'd like to say that you should remember that the appearance of normalcy is no indicator. If you will, turn in your Bible back to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And if you go down to verse 28, you'll read this. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. But they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. they married, they carried on with normal life. I'm sure that one of the reasons that Mrs. Lot looked back was shock. And by shock, I mean the Bible says they got up that morning, the morning after the men tried to break down the door. They got up that morning and everything appeared normal, except the angels were at their door saying, "You've got to go, you've got to go, you've got to go now." And so they grabbed them by the hand and pulled them outside the city. And they had no more than gotten outside the city when the fire and brimstone started falling from heaven. But it was otherwise just a normal morning. I would remind you that the men of Noah's day never saw it coming. The day that it started raining for the first time ever in this world, they were going out for yet another day of just mocking this idiot out on the plain building this humongous boat. We're going to go mock Noah some more today. It was just another normal day, only it wasn't. And I just want to say, you need to remember that the appearance of normalcy is no indicator. You know, on the 22nd of June, after Brother Spurgeon's meetings, a lot of us are going to get tickets and go down to see the Twins play. Okay, fine. So we're going to sit in a stadium that might, I don't know, seat up to 35,000, I'm not sure. There may be that day 12 or 15 or 20,000 at most. We're going to sit in a stadium with maybe 15,000 people. And you know what's not indicated by the normalcy of that scene? The fact that the wrath of God abides on most of the people that sit in those stands. I mean, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We're going to sit in the stands on that day probably and have a relatively normal day. Aside from earthquake or tornado or something like that, we're going to sit and watch people play baseball for a lot of money. And all around us are going to sit people on whom the wrath of God abides. But it's going to look perfectly normal. You know, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to remember that the appearance of normalcy is no indicator. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that those mockers say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the beginning of the creation, things continue as they were." And so on and so forth. I mean, it looks even today like the second coming of Christ is far, far away, even a myth, because things just go on normally as they always have. Normalcy is no indicator. And I'm sure that Mrs. Lot looked back in part and said, "Wow, and it was so normal earlier this morning. Look, I can't believe this is happening." The Bible says that she turned into a pillar of salt for looking back. Beware of the fact that you tend to default back to normalcy. You know, after you've experienced a real spiritual high, your tendency will be to go back and find normal life again, to fade back into convenience, to not continue for this not to be continually fresh. I want you to know, you shouldn't look back. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Remember Lot's wife." She looked back over her shoulder and she turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back. You need to remember that the only legitimate place to look is forward. For Mrs. Lot, she had no business looking over her shoulder. It was all burned. It was all lost. It was all gone. All that matters is before you. Well, there's lots of stuff like that in the Word of God. I would remind you, if you've been saved for a while, Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I'm not saying you won't go. I'm saying it is not seemly, it is not meet, it is not right, and it is not appropriate for you to go back and think back in a lifetime where you were sinning and lost and addicted perhaps, and under the wrath of God, and remember those memories with nostalgia, as if they were something worth having. The only place to look, ladies and gentlemen, is forward. If there's a lesson to learn from the past, sure. But as far as looking back with affection and with nostalgia on a life that's gone, A life forgotten. It's not right. It's not, you're not fit for the kingdom of God to do so. It's not fitting. It's not appropriate. It's not right. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The only place to look legitimately is forward. Look, we don't care about the mistakes of the past. God doesn't care about the mistakes of the past so far as you don't commit them again. It's not worth looking back. It's not worth ruining your life and corrupting your joy and your happiness in the Lord looking back upon things that may be joyous or they may be disastrous. But why would you think back on those things? They're gone. It's Sodom. It's burning. It's shot. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Then he said to his disciples, arise and let us go hence. You cannot stay here. We have to go to the next thing. You can't stay here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The only legitimate place to look is forward. Yes, learn from the mistakes of the past, but the only place to legitimately look and to lean and to look forward to and hope in and to expect things is the future. The past doesn't matter. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. If you look back with nostalgia, it's a deceitful thing. If you look back and forget that you have a new lease on life, that you get to refresh and renew your blessings every day that you wake up and live as a child of God. If you forget that, you've forgotten a lot. Don't look back. Last thing I have to say revolves around Matthew chapter 5. Somehow I'd never managed to put these verses together. Matthew chapter 5, real quick. Matthew chapter 5, go down to verse 13, a verse most of you can probably quote from memory. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Salt is a type in the Bible of judgment. And on the correct meat, the doctrine of God, it makes that meat taste better as long as there's not too much salt. Salt can also be judgment in the sense that if you go out and pour out a bunch of rock salt at a certain area in your yard, that part of your yard is going to die for years to come because too much judgment does that. Now, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He pulled in His mercy Lot and Mrs. Lot out of town. Now, they were supposed to be the salt of the earth. They were supposed to have drawn their own judgments about Sodom and Gomorrah. They, like Abraham, were called, just like Abraham, to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah and to live someplace else. They were supposed to be separate because they were supposed to have saltily judged what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord wants you salty. So if you won't leave, Mrs. Lot, and if you insist, Mrs. Lot, on looking back, I'm going to turn you into a memorial for all generations to see. I'm going to turn you into salt. I'm going to turn you into a pillar of salt. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord wants you salty. He wants you salty. He wants you to be separate from this world. He wants you to have separate ideas from the world. He wants you to have different kind of friends than this world. He wants you to have different ideas than this world. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. And Mrs. Lot, if you're going to turn and look back, I'm going to turn you into what you're supposed to be. I'm going to make you salt through and through. It's a memorial. I'm sure that that pillar doesn't still stand there today. I'm sure it's dissolved over time. I don't know if you could ever even find the same hillock that she stood on to watch. But I just know that whatever's the case, one of the greatest miracles in the Bible is the fact that instantly God turned Mrs. Lot, her flesh and her blood, into a pillar of salt. And there's a reason He did it. The Lord wants you salty. You're the salt of the earth. You know, I'm glad to be saved. And what I regret in my own Christian life is just the number of times that I can sit and think. I think a lot, and I have a ton of thoughts that go through my head, and there are times that I think back on incidents and of the old life and when I was fully in the world and fully committed to the world, and I remember some of those things with some degree of nostalgia and sentimentality. And then I'll stop myself and think, do you realize, do you remember how you were feeling? Do you remember how lost you were? Do you remember how miserable you were even the very days that you're remembering these stupid things? It is a trait of the devil that he would deceive you into thinking, for deceive you in that you might think you were happy. And remember happiness in a time when you were profoundly sad and despairing. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't look back. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the fresh start in life, the new lease that we have in life. And Lord, Mrs. Lot teaches us something. I'm thankful that You don't judge us quite so thoroughly and harshly as You did her. She looked only once and You turned her into a pillar of salt. We've all made this mistake before, Father. I pray You'd help us to learn from this thing that we've talked about here this morning. May we remember that there are things that we can remember with sentimentality and with nostalgia, and those things can become a trap for us, a deceit. I pray, Father, You'd help us as we have a complete new life to live before You. We have hopes of fruit and righteousness being born on our accounts, because You've given us something to live for and to sit and to think back on a bad and wretched day of life that we once lived when we were lost in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. Father, is a deceit. I pray You'd help us. We love You and we need You. May You be an encouragement to Your people to simply not be like Mrs. Lot, to remember her and to not look back. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. Maybe the Lord dealt with you this morning. If you desire to come, I hope you will. Invitation's open. Obviously, if you've never trusted Christ, I hope that you would come. Let us show you out of the Bible how to put Sodom and Gomorrah behind you. I speak not here of just sodomy. I speak of sin. I speak of living in a dirty place. A dirty place in your life. The Lord offers you a new start, a brand new lease, a place to begin over. You get to start every day renewed in your spirit with the Word of God, by the blood of Christ, and a new beginning. What a vanity to think back when we were gloomy and in despair and miserable because of our sins, and think on those things with nostalgia and with sentimentality, because we ought not. Let's look this way and grab a songbook, number 385. Number 385. Thank you.
what we see here in this passage, and we're glad to be able to learn from somebody else's mistakes. In that regard, Father, we get a chance to not be judged quite so harshly or quickly as you judged Mrs. Lott. Father, we've all been guilty of this sin before, of remembering with pleasure some things that we were involved in when we were either lost or badly backslidden. I pray, Father, you might help us as we think about these things to not only remember that, but also to remember the misery involved of things that surrounded those times. And may we reflect on what a blessing it is to be saved, what a blessing it is that we now have something legitimate to live for. We are not called to serve ourselves. We're not called to serve our flesh. We're called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're thankful for a chance to be fruitful and joyous and rich. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See y'all tonight at 5:30 and for prayer meeting, 6 o'clock. Otherwise, Brother Wright will be here. We'll see you then.